Hello, Internet, and welcome to the 2014 Screen Verdict Awards. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble. And what an exciting occasion, Jonathan. Are you excited?
Oh, I am so pumped. It's my favourite time of year. You know, we've had some other award shows, we've had the Oscars. You know, they're all just trying to predict. They're all just trying to be the precursor to the biggest award of the year. It's the 2014 ESPYs.
Yes, the Oscars, the final hurdle on the road to Screen Verdict Gold.
Podcast greatness. Immortality awaits for the winners of our prestigious film and television awards.
And it's quite interesting, like most of these awards is in 2015, but we're honouring things from 2014.
As the music slowly fades out, we will be explaining what the awards are for. We have... It is 2015, but we're going to be celebrating the best of 2014. And we're going to be doing... I think there are six categories, six ESPYs up for grabs.
Yes, in both film and television, we honor both film and TV at these awards. We're like the Golden Globes of Entertainment Awards.
The categories being... I think we'll be starting with television. We're going to be talking television... Actress, television actor, and television series. Three goodies up for grabs there.
And the Oscars did a terrible job at trying to predict these awards. None of our nominees won an Oscar.
The trend continues.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll get it right next year.
So should we start with the TV nominees now, and then we'll like the categories?
Yes, and seeing as it is... International Women's Day. We will celebrate that by letting ladies go first.
I like it.
With our nominees for Best Female Actor on a Television Show.
Great. Who do you want to read out the nominees, Jonathan?
Whoever has the list up.
I've got a sort of list.
Okay, Matt. Who are our talented nominees?
Are you going to play the music? Do I wait for the music, or do I just read the nominees? Jonathan, I need a cue.
Obviously, you think the music is the cue, and obviously our sound person thinks you are the cue for the music.
Oh, okay. So
let's count both of you in 3, 2, 1. There you go.
Hope people liked our missing the cue bit to open the show.
It's, you know, people didn't seem to be a fan of Neil Patrick Harris, so just letting the Academy know, check out the podcast, could be co-hosting next year.
Yeah, I've got an envelope of predictions, Jonathan, that I'll be opening at the end of the show.
We'll be now, practicing with David Copperfield.
No, but people are probably sitting at home listening to these awards going, what are you doing? Just open the envelope, read out the winner. We have no envelopes because Screen Verdict is the only award show where you hear the award deliberation process. No one knows the winners of these awards because they haven't been decided yet. Me and Jonathan will debate and advocate for who we think should win and come up with a consensus. And that person will win. All the nominees have had to turn up today. We've got a few people who couldn't. But no one knows that they've won or haven't won. It's all yet to be decided.
Yes. Despite the rumour, Screen Verdict can't afford our own envelopes. That's just not how we operate at the ESPYs.
And it's really... The people love it, though, because they love getting an insight into the process. You know?
Yeah, people are going to be yelling along with us, yes! Jonathan has it right. Matt doesn't know anything. His nominee is trash. Or vice versa, but probably not. So
this is a strong field of ladies, I think, in TV actress.
We got a couple of repeat nominees. I believe Uzo Aduba was nominated last year for Orange is the New Black. I believe Julia Louis-Dreyfus has won before at the ESPYs. Who are some of the new nominees?
Yes, we've got Maisie Williams for Game of Thrones. We've had in the past Emilia Clarke nominated for Game of Thrones for playing Daenerys. She's been great for Dragons and things. Probably had a bit of a lull season for Daenerys. Her just losing, she lost a dragon. That probably hurt her chances. Here, and Maisie Williams going on sort of a bit of a road trip with the Hound gave her some great moments.
Yeah, she's sort of she's always been a likable character, one of the few remaining Starks. But I guess she was more not so much comic relief, but just kind of cutesy with her little little saw that she called Needle and things. But this season she was pretty badass. She was hanging in there with the Hound, and she was ice cold, just walking away at the end of the season. She's grown up tough in the rough world of Game of Thrones.
Mm. No, she definitely has, and those scenes of her and the Hound, some of the they weren't all funny, but they were sort of like really they had a great chemistry, those two, and they bounced off each other really well. And there were some funny little quips and moment, so really strong season for Maisie Williams. Great to see her in the lineup. I imagine Amy Poehler's been nominated before as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Is this Robin Wright's first nomination?
I'm going to guess so.
I think it is. Yeah. I think season two was such a strong season for that character on House of Cards. I think she was the most improved person in House of Cards season two.
Yeah, she was always very cold, very stern, very strong. But I think in season two, you really got to see how the effect that she had on Frank and how the power that she had, the plays that she was making in terms of the political moves. And once she sort of started weaving away into those storylines as well, you really sort of got engrossed in that character and her story, and definitely a great season for Robin Wright on House of Cards.
Yeah, like the first season she was sort of shoehorned into this charity storyline, which wasn't particularly interesting, and second season they really gave her some great chops to work with and got her more involved in the political stuff. So a great season for Robin Wright. And also new to the team is Olivia Munn from The Newsroom.
Hmm. We've been a fan of The Newsroom. It's appeared before. What made Olivia Munn stand out in the latest season?
I think, like every season, she's been one of the stronger people on The Newsroom. I don't think season three was particularly a better season for her than the other two. But I think this year we had maybe a couple of people who had gotten in the past maybe had a bit weaker seasons, and it was a great opportunity for Olivia Munn to come in. And I'd say season three, was a good season for her. She had a great interview in the second last episode where she really went after someone. And in the first episode, she gets to do a bit of a detective work, trying to figure something out. So, Olivia Munn, I really feel like The Newsroom, you've got three really strong performances that make the show work as well as it does. And it's Jeff Daniels with a great lead performance. It's Sam Waterston with the great sort of supporting sort of performance older guy. And it's Olivia Munn who brings the funny more than anyone else and keeps the show light and fun, and great to see her in the lineup.
Well, take that, Mac and Neil. Show doesn't need you.
Yes. Obviously, Olivia Munn really will be pleased with this nomination. She'll be stoked. I was at a Newsroom Season 3 premiere party, and she was definitely courting me for my Screen Verdict vote.
I'm glad you were able to remain impartial and nominate her for a completely just and earned reasons.
Yes, she... Yeah. We had some wine together. It was very nice, but, you know, it was an impartial...
I really hope some of those photos don't surface. It would be a screenplay scandal.
See me being wined and dined by a movie mother and the new HBO. Anyway, maybe she'll win. So what about the three returnees? Uso and Duba, great in Orange is the New Black Season 1, a guest, technically. This year, part of the full cast, she's definitely a supporting actress. She won the Screen Actors Guild Award for Best Actress in TV, beating supporting people. Will we follow suit? Jonathan, tell us about Uzo.
A great season for Uzo Aduba. I think they realised the potential in this character based on how great she was in Season 1. I'm going to guess that they didn't write that much for her originally, but they knew they had to involve her more, and she has some great individual scenes, absolutely hilarious, and then gets a really strong emotional arc, very strong relationship between her and, I guess, sort of the new lead, the new number one gangster in the prison, and how that ties back into Piper's storyline. And, yeah, so both the comedic moments and the heartfelt moments, you know, perhaps even better than last year, so definitely a strong contender this year.
Amy Poehler returns, Parks and Rec. She's been so good on that for every season. Great to see her return to the fray.
Yeah, interesting season of Parks and Rec. Amy Poehler bringing the funnies as usual, but the season took a bit of a strange turn, especially the finale. We got a bit of a time jump, which, I don't know, I felt was a little polarizing. Get it?
What? Yeah.
didn't want to let that sit too long. I was a fan of her. The show as a whole, maybe not as much, but I don't think that drags down her performance. I think she was really funny as usual.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Maybe not the strongest season of Parks, but as always, she was great. And then we've got Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Do we need to say much more about this? Like, probably every year at the Screenbergs Awards, we're raving about her performance. She was great again this year.
Yeah, great season for her. Great season for Selena Meyer. Is she going to be able to get nominated for this show next year? Is Veep even going to exist?
Is it going to be called something else?
Is it going to be called POTUS?
Maybe.
That'll be...
We do not know.
Yeah, that'll be a... it's a pretty good title. President and multiple winner at the Screen Verdict Awards.
So, we've got to decide a winner now. Who should we rule out? Who should we, like... You know, they're all winners for getting nominated, but only one will be an actual winner at the awards.
Well, you said that Olivia Munn didn't really do anything to step up in Season 3, just perhaps other performances were weaker, which isn't exactly a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, she's probably not going to win the Best Actress on TV award.
I think Amy Poehler was perhaps sort of in that category. You know, great as usual, but didn't do anything to excel this season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. Like, I think Munn and Poehler are both great to get in, but they haven't done anything super special this season that they haven't done previous seasons. Which, they're good. But yeah, I'd say maybe not them for the win.
So we have Maisie Williams, Robin Wright, Uzo Aduba, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Who's jumping out at you?
To win it, or just
to win? Let's just go right for the win, man.
I think Julia. I think she's so good in Veep. I find it very hard to go past her in Veep.
Was this her best season?
I arguably.
The scene with her and Tony Hale in the bathroom
was so good.
It's one of the funniest scenes, if not the funniest scene in the show.
Yeah. What are you thinking with Wynn?
I think, well, each of the other characters we said they had improved. This was perhaps their best season. Is it enough to make up the gap?
Julia.
Yeah, because she's already at the top. She might have been satisfied just staying in that performance, but we just said it might even be her best season.
Yeah.
She's uncatchable.
Do you think, are you on Team Me with a Julia Wynn?
I think we gotta cue it out for
And the winner of the Screen Verdict Award Best Actress in Television or Best Female Actor in Television is Julia Louis-Dreyfus for me, picking up what I think is a third straight Screen Verdict. Is that correct? Now, unfortunately, Julia Louis-Dreyfus couldn't be with us here tonight. She sends her apologies, and we accept that award on her behalf.
Will I give that to Julia the next time we hang out?
Yeah.
So, moving on to how do you follow that up? What you follow it up with is Best Actor in a Television Series. Matt, the nominees.
Do you want me to do the nominees again?
I don't have a list.
Okay. And the nominees for Best Male Actor in a Television Series is Steve Buscemi, Boardwalk Empire, Stephen Colbert, The Colbert Report, Tony Hale, Veep, Andy Samberg, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and Pedro Pascal, Game of Thrones, and Kevin Spacey, House of Cards.
Talk about strong contenders. Got some big names. All right, where do we start? Snubbed at this year's Emmys, Steve Buscemi for Boardwalk Empire, playing Nucky Thompson. I think it seems that almost any HBO drama is an instant classic, and Boardwalk, perhaps.
Particularly John from Cincinnati.
when you're talking, well, there's levels, you know. There's The Sopranos, there's The Wire, there's Boardwalk, and then above all that, the show that everyone is striving to keep up with, John from Cincinnati.
Yeah. Continue with Steve Buscemi.
The show's finished, so this is the last chance to nominate Steve, and I think now's a good season to sort of talk about this performance. It's because we've now had the performance as a whole. You know, how does this rank? Is this a Tony Soprano? Is it on that level?
Mm.
Is it an Al Swearengen?
Mm.
I'm just going to go right off the back and say it is.
Alan Shaw.
I mean, if you watch shows that aren't on HBO, sure. Yeah, and Alan Shaw as well. Matt, where do you stand on Steve Buscemi?
Very good performance. Probably not putting him up on that level.
Oh.
But to be honest, though, I've never been a big Boardwalk. Like, you've always liked Boardwalk Empire more than me. So,
that's true.
Yeah.
What?
We've got Pedro Pascal joining the fray from Game of Thrones. Very good. He really just had very limited time in Game of Thrones, but grabbed your attention.
I love the character of the Viper. I thought he was the best new character that the show had introduced in several seasons. Maybe even since the first season, when we were introduced to everyone.
I don't know. I like Marjorie Tyrell in season 2. I think that was a good introduction.
I think you like Marjorie Tyrell's costume design more than Marjorie Tyrell.
No, that's not fair. That's
no, I like Marjorie Tyrell. She's definitely made some big moves on the show. But Yeah, the Viper, he's charismatic, he commands respect, he instills fear, he's flamboyant, it made for a shocking moment and a really great water cooler moment, but, oh man, I really feel like the show lost out by only having him in for a few episodes.
And I think his best moment was actually not the trial by combat, but the episode before where he goes to Tyrion and he sort of goes like, Tyrion goes, "You've come, if you've been looking for justice, you've come to the wrong place." And he's got like, "I've come to exactly the right place." And I was like, yeah. That was a very powerful scene, how he told the story about how he met Tyrion for the first time. And I thought that was really strong acting.
Mm.
Yeah. Kevin Spacey, House of Cards. I'd say not as big a jump as Robin Wright, because Kevin Spacey was so delicious in season one of House of Cards. But I think he stepped up too in season two and gave a really strong performance.
Yeah, we love Kevin Spacey. It's a really well-defined character, a really intriguing character. You kind of hate him, but love him at the same time. Make some crazy moves this season. Talk about water cooler moments. Episode one of the season made me a little wary of subway trains. This is perhaps more the writing as than the performance, but I think they really worked out the whole talking to the camera business. I thought at times it was a little bit cheesy before, but I think now it's sort of, they've really worked into just part of the style of the show, and it's a great insight into his character. So, Kevin Spacey, he's definitely a contender as well.
Tony Hale, we talked about, and this probably helped Julia Louis-Dreyfus lock down her Scream Verdict Award. That scene in the bathroom with the tissues and the nosebleed, like, incredible.
Yeah, Tony Hale is... one here before. He's been nominated for, I believe, Veep and Arrested Development. What can't Tony Hale do? Can he win? Can he win the SV? I think, besides that, which was clearly a highlight, do you think the rest of the season was a great season for Tony Hale?
I think he's always great in the show. He's really good. I think that was the scene that made him stand out above the other supporting actors on that show. Because there's a great cast across the board. So I think he was really strong the rest of the season too. Yeah,
it is. You must be doing something right if you're getting nominated over Dan, Mike, and Amy, because we're big fans of all of them.
Yeah, although we probably would put Amy in the actress category.
Sorry, I just cut out there for a second. We'll get sound guy on
I
that.
Said we probably would have put Amy in the actress category. So, Andy Samberg, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's such a great show. I think it was the best new comedy of the past year. And he's fantastic. Like, he's just so funny and got such good comedic timing and such an energy to that show. He's great.
Yeah, I've been able to catch up on a bit of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and that's got a pretty good cast as well, as it's well written, but Andy Samberg really, really carries it. He's so goofy, so funny, so likable. He's kind of that guy that's, he's kind of cool, but in sort of like a relatively cool world, like not actually that cool. And just a great presence and comedic timing. So definitely one of the strongest comedic performances of the year.
Yeah. And then we have Stephen Colbert for the Colbert Report. It's his last season on the show. He interviewed Obama. And I think this has been such a great performance that he's delivered here. This character that he's played for 100 and whatever episodes a year. I have a lot of good things to say about Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, and it really showed in the, I think, the public's response to the end of the series, because people go, oh, that's a shame. Oh, yeah, I really like that show. But people, you know, the outpouring of love for Stephen Colbert when it was announced that the show was ending and when the final episode aired really shows the way that he's been able to connect to people, not just on an entertainment level, but I guess something even deeper, which is really quite remarkable.
Yeah, and you have these great scripted moments, like where he's just embodying this sort of very hypocritical, almost like, you know, like self-righteous, but so enthusiastically dogmatic, like, person. And then you got these interviews where, you know, Stephen Colbert's having to improvise, like, you know, you know, like, and go toe-to-toe with people and stuff. And there's an interview where he did John McCain and he made some reference to a verse in the Bible. Like, he's sort of, oh, Jesus said this will be last or something. And John McCain goes, oh, I can't remember what gospel that, like, he goes, don't remember reading that verse in Sunday school or whatever. And Colbert, like, sort of said, well, it was this verse, or so, like, you know, and, like, completely caught John McCain out. So, like, he's just got some great moments of this year. Yeah, he had Obama. He went out on top, Stephen Colbert. So, talking about the winners of this category, there's a few I think I can rule out. And I actually think this is going to boil down to two people and a bit of an argument between you and me. Like, so I can see where this is going. I could be wrong.
All right, who are we ruling out?
I think probably Pedro Pascal. He was very good in Game of Thrones, but I think we've got some very heavy hitters in this category who sort of carried their shows a bit more.
Yeah, perhaps if he'd have maintained that for the whole season, it would have been a different conversation, but was more of a flash in the pan performance.
I think Tony Hale probably is very, very good, but not quite at the winning point in this field.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that.
I'd say Andy Samberg is great, but yeah, probably not enough to win here.
Sure.
I think we're down to three. And I feel like from these three, we've both got a fairly strong opinion over who should win. It's just like, and I think neither of us have a strong opinion about Spacey winning.
I believe in Matt's mind, this is in Matt's corner, Stephen Colbert from the Colbert Report. In Jonathan's corner, Steve Buscemi from Boardwalk Empire. Two performances that couldn't really be any further apart.
Yeah. two horses could be further apart. Two people in their last chance to win this award for this show. Like, and two performances, though, that's first names. Couldn't be closer.
two Steves.
Even Stevens, this race.
A tale of two Steves.
Yes. Am I sort of on the money here? Or maybe you've got a strong... Maybe you think Colbert should win too, and that'll be easy. Or maybe you think Spacey should take it out.
Okay. I think you are on the money, Matt.
Okay.
I think Boardwalk is a criminally underrated show. It really baffles me that people haven't latched onto this the same way they did with The Sopranos. And Steve Buscemi, people like Steve Buscemi, but it's sort of more just because it's Steve Buscemi. Like, no one seems to be like, yeah, I love Nucky Thompson. People just go, oh, yeah, it must be good because it's Steve Buscemi. Whereas people are more sort of in love with Tony Soprano than James Gandolfini, if that makes sense. But I think this is an absolutely magnificent performance, but perhaps Steve Buscemi's best. And this season is just, you see him at his weakest, you see him on just the path to vengeance and revenge and retribution, and you see him, it's such a heart-wrenching, brutal, black, darkening, upsetting, traumatizing, brilliant end to the season and the character of Nucky Thompson. It's up there. I think if we'd have had this if we'd have had our top 20 of the decade of the 2000s this year, you would have seen me arguing for Steve Buscemi and Nucky Thompson a lot higher up the list.
How high did you get?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I don't think it was like top 5 or anything crazy. Matt, what's your argument for Colbert?
This is perhaps the greatest American satirical performance of all time.
Of which, how many satirical performances are there?
Name the second.
It's like, what you basically just said you think he's better than Jon Stewart.
I'm not even sure Jon Stewart's satire, but yes, he is better than Jon Stewart, regardless of what Jon Stewart is. But, you know, but, well, okay, he did something that no one's ever done before. Like, he created this long-form satire parody of a newsman and just did it for 9 years, for, like, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes. Like, you know, he sort of did something that wasn't being done.
Yeah. Do you think at any point anyone thought, you know, you've probably overdone the joke? Like, we get that it was on Running, but you've probably done it like 500 times now. Probably should come up with something new.
That's interesting. And, like, to a degree, yeah, people probably did think that, like, at times. But just showing how much love and support there was from him leaving, and how even after 9 years he went out on top, and it's the last couple of years that he was able to win the Emmy for Best Variety Show, shows that people weren't really tiring of the shtick.
I'll be honest, I didn't tire of it.
Yeah. So I'm sure, like, yeah, because I guess, like, you know, look, he did repeat bits and stuff. Like, it's not like, that could have been a valid criticism, but it doesn't seem like one that many people had.
No, I mean, it was, they sort of set up parameters for his character, but it wasn't the same jokes over and over again. You know, the writing on the show is great, and him, as you said, because of a lot of his improvise, it's interviews and things, and his ability to be so creative and witty on the spot really was a strength of his.
Yeah, I really like him with Colbert. He's done something no one else has done, and he did it so well for so long. And this was a strong season for him too.
What did you think of Steve Buscemi in the final season of Boardwalk?
I've got a lot of affection for season 3 of Boardwalk Empire, the first season we podcasted about, and I quite enjoyed that. And I feel like every subsequent season, well, the two subsequent seasons haven't quite lived up to the enjoyment I had watching that one. I think part of that's due to Jim Rossetti, Emmy winner Jim Rossetti, and Jack Houston having a great arc, rather than that being necessarily Nucky's best season himself. So there are a few fans. The writing, I think, that season was very strong. The fifth season, yeah, he's very good, Nucky Thompson. He's a really good character, and he had a really good performance. And you're right, he did have we saw him at his weakest, and we saw him also on this, maybe not his strongest, but like his trying to get revenge and retribution and things. So I think everything you say is sort of true. I probably wouldn't put him up there as one of the greats. But I definitely think he merits being in the discussion of the greats. Like, if we were doing our 20 sitcom, 20 drama character list now, I'd be pretty comfortable him sort of ending up in our top five. I probably wouldn't be arguing for him in the top five, but I'd be fine with him landing there. So that's sort of my feelings to Nucky Thompson.
Here's my thinking. I think that Steve Buscemi is just as good, if not better, but I think it's a really strong argument for Stephen Colbert that he created almost a genre or a positioning all unto himself. It was something that nobody else has ever done before. So I would be happy for you to announce the 2014 Screen Verdict Award for Best Television Actor. To whom do we give it to, Matt?
Well, the award goes to Stephen Colbert, the Colbert Report. Stephen Colbert could not be with us tonight. He sends his apologies, and we accept this award on his behalf. I would like to thank Steve Buscemi for making the trek. Thank you.
Sorry, Steve.
So
we have actor, actress. It brings us to the biggest award in all of television, the Screen Verdict Award for Best Television Series. And the nominees are... I don't have a list.
Okay, great. I'll read them out. Boardwalk Empire, Game of Thrones, House of Cards, The Newsroom, and Veep. And The Colbert Report. I didn't just throw that one in there, that was on the list, I just skipped over it. I sort of read them all out, and I thought, that sounded like five to me. And I quickly counted the ones I read out and said, oh, what did I forget?
Wow, okay. So again, it's a very interesting dynamic we have here at the ESPYs with comedy and drama going head-to-head. In the last award, we've had two comedies come out ahead so far. So let's take a look at some of the dramas in this category. What could overtake them? We have House of Cards, which we mentioned, had a great season two, which improved from season one. With a great start to the season. Oh my goodness, Kate Mara.
I'd say House of Cards had a more consistent season two than season one. And it was a better season. But maybe the end was a little less... I felt like with season one, I felt like I didn't know what Frank was scheming at. And then when you found out about him becoming vice president, you were like, oh, all those little things from the season had been building up to this. Whereas season two, I sort of knew where he was heading. Like, we sort of knew a bit more. Okay, he's doing all these things because he wants to be president.
Yeah. I sort of see that, but I think once he's vice president, it's sort of inevitable that that was what he was going to do. So it's not like the writers could have hid that. And I still thought it was really clever the way he went about that. Mm. All the things he did to undermine the president and eventually force him to step down. So really interesting.
Well, I said it was a stronger season. We've got three HBO shows.
Yes. Game of Thrones, we liked Maisie Williams and Pedro Pascal. Why else did we like this season of Game of Thrones?
Well, I think Peter Dinklage gave a great performance too this year on Game of Thrones. Perhaps a criminal snub from our Screen Verdict nominees, some would say. He's definitely a criminal character arrested for murder. And that whole... I think the Purple Wedding was really a great way to kick off the season and then start this intrigue of what's the fallout going to be. Like, I think we have the Red Wedding, which was a great water cooler moment for the show, But the fallout was a lot less intriguing than the Purple Wedding, where all the political dynamics got affected, and we had trials, we had trial by combats, and we had sort of like cover-ups from the Tyrells and things. And I think that made a really interesting season, and also really opened up Littlefinger to do some real wheeling and dealing. And it was quite a high season on the politics of the show, which I think appeals to us quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely. That kicked off a whole bunch of mysteries, a lot of troubles, a lot of dramas for characters that we're rooting for. And we had perhaps not as much screen time as I would have liked, but still some great moments from Littlefinger, one of my favourite characters. I think perhaps the season only brought down by some of the other, because the show goes to so many different places, some of the other storylines were not as interesting. Daenerys had a pretty weak season. The Wall, great battle.
The battle
scene in episode 9, but all the lead up to that was still pretty slow. Yeah. Definitely not the highlight of each episode. So, entertaining season from Game of Thrones, but maybe not its strongest.
Yeah. The Newsroom. I think it had a great. I think its third season was probably its best season.
Wow.
I still think your first season hit the most home runs in terms of just great moments that has got you excited and talking the next day. But I think season 3 had a couple more, like, really good ones. A really, really strong second last episode, in my opinion. And the final was really nice, too. Sort of wrapping everything up. Daniels was on top form, Mun was on top form, Watterson was on top form. I'm really glad HBO gave it a final sort of 7-8 episodes to wrap up the stories and things, because I think it meant the show was able to end on a real high.
And moving on to another show that seems some nominations already, Veep, throwing comedy into the mix. We've been big fans of the show. I love the first two seasons. Third season was good enough to bag Julia another SV. Why did we like season 3 as a whole?
I think it was really interesting her running for president. So that was a really exciting and made the show fresh and gave new ground for them to tread. And even a few of the new little characters they brought in, like that guy who's taking photos and stuff, was like, you know, you're not going to nominate him for an award, but he was just so funny and good. Like, it worked so well. Like, and I think that's the thing, all the elements of this show worked so well together. I was saying the other day that for the upcoming Emmys this year, I can't imagine myself not going for Veep to win, even though I haven't seen any of season 4, because it hasn't aired yet. Just because the gap between, for the past year, the gap between Veep and any other comedy series, for me, is so great that even if Veep had a weak season and another show had a strong season, I can't imagine it, like, taking over Veep in my mind. Because I just think Veep is just head and shoulders above the other comedies on TV, the other sitcoms. Now, competing against dramas and a variety series, maybe it'll struggle. But just as far as a comedy series goes, nothing comes close to the consistency and quality and humour of Veep for mine.
Yeah, Veep really has the a real strength of Veep is the writing in terms of making you laugh, but also keeping you just as intrigued as a political drama like House of Cards or like The West Wing or The Newsroom. You know, you might not give it the win, but it could probably get nominated just in terms of, you know, if it were a drama show, just based on the cleverness and the depth of the political intrigue and the backstabbing and all of that. Then when you put a bit of a satirical twist on it with some great performances and some really funny characters, it really stands out as a leading comedy.
Yeah. And the Colbert Report. I think we've said a lot about Stephen Colbert, and he's such a pup. He's such what that show is, that it's really just a similar thing. This is a show that did something that no other show had done before it. And it did it well for 9 years. Like, that's... And I guess you can have, like, a Jon Stewart, like, a talk show where you're just playing yourself, where you can sort of sustain it for 9 years. I've seen Letterman do his for 30. You could argue whether that's gotten weaker over the years or not. But, like, to actually be a different character and to maintain this sort of fake persona and segments and things over 9 years is a very impressive feat for a show. So, winners, or the winner. Let's narrow it down a bit. I think I could pretty much rule 3 out off the bat, I think.
Well, I said Game of Thrones might not have been my favourite season of Game of Thrones, yeah. So I'd say that would be one of them.
I think it was a strong, good season for Game of Thrones, but not going to win in this company. House of Cards, I also feel, is a little, maybe not, has a few too many weaknesses to win it.
Mm.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it's a great season, but perhaps room to improve to be on the top level.
Mm. And I think The Newsroom, really strong, but again, not a flawless season. Like, it didn't really hit the home runs even than season one did. So even though I think ultimately it's a better season than season one, there's still some weaknesses with The Newsroom season.
So that leaves us with The Colbert Report, Veep, and Boardwalk Empire.
A variety series, a drama series, and a comedy. Oh, sorry, there are 4 HBO shows nominated.
Yeah.
I forgot Veep was a HBO. There were 3 HBO dramas nominated. 4 HBO shows. So that could be HBO's best year in nominations from us. We'd have to check. So I feel like because Colbert won actor, I know we view categories in a vacuum to a degree, but I feel like the show is so rooted in his performance that it would probably make sense to give it to one of the two others.
Okay.
Do you agree with that? If you want Colbert Report to win, make your case. I'm not against that being the decision.
Well, sometimes there's a little bit of strategy involved in the ESPYs. There's a little bit of give and take.
Jonathan has, after 2 years, learnt his lesson about how to play the ESPY Awards. But I honestly think rule out Colbert.
Okay, well, that leaves us with Veep and Boardwalk Empire.
I think you could make a better case for, even though Julia won actress, it's very much an ensemble show. There are, like, it's very heavily written. Like, there's so many elements of Veep that make it good. It could win series as well without us doubling up too much. Colbert, I feel like he's got his win. That's for the show. That's for the accomplishment of what he's created. So I think we've got a comedy versus drama, HBO showdown, Veep versus Boardwalk Empire. Jonathan, please say you want Veep to win, because that will make this a very easy category to decide.
Well, you said Veep was head and shoulders the leading comedy in your mind. I've been saying for the last few years, probably since season two, and I love season one as well, but definitely since season two, that Boardwalk Empire is the best drama on television. Breaking Bad fans, just, I don't care. Just send your letters, send your emails, and I will write back a considered response for every single point as to why Boardwalk Empire is a better show. And season 5, one of the best seasons of the show. You might have been skeptical at first. You're like, "Oh, they've only got 8 episodes. How are they going to be able to fit a fully fleshed out arc into this?" You know, it starts off with some flashbacks. We've not really seen that before in Boardwalk Empire. What's going on? But slowly, and I say slowly, but the season actually kicked off pretty quickly. Sometimes it's a little bit of slow burn with a big payoff at the end. But you had people like Lucky and Maya killed. Masaraya in the first episode. Someone tries to assassinate Nucky while he's in Cuba. It's all going down right off the bat. But as we see these flashbacks, you learn a little bit about Nucky's childhood, a little bit about his dad, a little bit about the Commodore, a little bit about... I'm blanking on it. What's Jimmy's mum's name?
Jillian.
Learned...
Is that right?
We learn more about Jillian, and it's all interesting, but you're wondering what exactly it means. And when you find out in the final episode how Nucky came to be the character that he is, it's just like a punch in the gut. I don't even know if that describes it. It is absolutely heart-wrenching. Because the entire show, you know, Nucky, especially since, you know, season two, like the tagline was, you can't be half a gangster. You know, he kind of dabbles in this and that, just making some money, but not being a bag. And then he crosses the line into being a gangster. But even then, you still sort of think that he has a heart. And because you like him, because he's charismatic, because you're sort of following his story, you still sort of root for him. And you try and justify everything that he does and go, well, he has his flaws, but he does this. And you still like him. And then that final episode just hits you like a hammer, just making you realize you're just wrong the whole time. I thought it was masterful. I thought it was a truly brilliant... It just transcended and being entertainment, just watching images on a screen. It was art. It cannot be beat.
So you think that it should be beat for best televisions? Is that
hands down?
Hands down. I'm very. Maybe our next podcast will be a Boardwalk Empire podcast, so we can talk through some of these things, because I think you might be able to explain things to me. Like, because I thought it was a fine season of Boardwalk. It didn't really blow me out of the water at all, so...
I didn't even touch on all the endings to Van Alden's storyline. Chalky storyline. We had Jeffrey Wright and Al Capone. Just a
I
lot
remember.
Of
yeah.
So much justice and injustice was dealt this season in Boardwalk. It was captivating.
I remember speaking to Jack Houston, who played Richard Harrow, the former Screen Verdict Award winner. Jack Houston, about how his character died at the end of last season. And he said part of it was really glad he got killed at the end of last season, because it meant his character got like a real proper send-off, and it wasn't like, he sort of thought, oh, I could get lost in the shuffle a bit in a season where they're sending off everyone else. And that was a good point. Like, I think that worked quite well for him, because it would have been a bit like of a squeeze to fit another send-off in this season, and he may have not got a whole episode devoted to his character in the way that he did.
Yeah, I sort of understand that. I perhaps agree with that a little bit more if they gave him a more, it's not going to be satisfactory, but just like a just or understandable or something that, you know, where you could go, oh, I'm really sad that he died, but at least... something, but just nothing came out of his death, and it was so sad. And that's another great strength of this season, that season two, we lost Jimmy, possibly the best character in the show at that point. Season three, we lost Chip Rossetti, possibly the best character at that point, along with Richard. Season four, we lost Richard. I was worried about season five, and it absolutely just crushed everything out of the park, completely dispelled all of my worries. I don't know how they did it. It was one of the great seasons of television.
I think Veep is the best ensemble on television. I think it's the funniest show on television. I think it's the most consistent show on television. Veep should win this award easily. Now, Jonathan, how much sleep have you lost the past 2 years since Boardwalk Empire lost... to season three.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Because season three was one of the strongest seasons, and it really ate me up that it lost to Breaking Bad, because I always thought that Breaking Bad was great, but not as good as Boardwalk. And for it to lose a great season... For it to lose for a great season was truly heartbreaking. Last year...
Well, we've just given Richard Harrow the actor. Yeah.
I got played.
Yeah. Brian Cranston had just lost out, so we had to give Breaking Bad something.
Yeah. Well, I got Fassbender that year, so...
Yeah.
Last year, it didn't hurt as bad so much because...
We didn't nominate him.
Last year was probably the weakest season of Boardwalk and the strongest season of Breaking Bad. So it was... not as tough to take as...
But probably rub the salt into the wounds of the loss the year before even more, knowing that we were just going to give it to Breaking Bad the next year anyway. Like, if you'd known we were giving it to Breaking Bad the next year, you would have probably fought a lot harder for Boardwalk Empire for season three.
And to be honest, I would probably be arguing for the case for Boardwalk Empire this season almost no matter what, but I honestly think it's one of the best seasons.
Well, I think using the Cranston precedent... We probably, since Buscemi just missed out a hard-fought race, I'm not sure if we should just make this every year the precedent. We don't want to just, I think this is,
I'm going to make you say this while the music plays.
Yeah. Are you going to announce the winner of your Me Too?
Oh, I could announce this one.
Take it away, gentlemen.
The winner of the 2014 Screen Verdict Award for the Best Television Series. Finally, and most deservedly, Boardwalk Empire!
Unfortunately, no one here from Boardwalk Empire came along, the producers didn't come along. They send their apologies. Steve Buscemi just left after his loss. So we accept this award on their behalf.
Oh, it feels good to do something right for the world, you know?
Yeah. #VEEP rocked. No. Deserving with the Boardwalk, it was a great HBO drama. Now, we're going to the film categories now.
Well,
the film awards.
The podcast at this point is an hour long.
Boy.
So what I'm thinking is maybe... We double down on the Screen Verdict Awards. Everyone loves a Screen Verdict Awards podcast. Maybe this year we build up a little suspense and bring you a part two for our film awards.
Oh my gosh. I don't really mind. I'm easy either way. So yeah, that sounds good.
That's good. You, before the second part of our SVs, yeah, you'll have some time to... let us know on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast, what you thought of our television winners and maybe what your hopes are for the film awards.
Yeah, and we have a rule change this year for the film awards, which means we'll have more films competing than ever before for this year only. So that'll be, hopefully that's intrigued you a little bit as well.
Well, I think we got it right. I think, you know, we've had a lot of award shows in the lead up. You know, they've tried their best, but they just didn't quite get it right. But I think, as always, the Screen Verdict Awards have come through.
Mm. Yes, we have. It's a lovely evening. And we'd like to ask the film nominees who have turned up tonight to come back and join us. In a week's time, when we will hand out the film honours.
film and board will be food and board will be provided, but you will have to take care of your own transportation.
Yes.
Until then, enjoy yourselves, and we'll see you next week.
Yes. Well, when did we win those movie awards?
You never know until the day of.
Until we decide, yeah.